We are back in Des Moines, Iowa at the World Port Expo, and the crowd is starting to build on day two of the Expo. Two issues that are getting a lot of attention here are on the agenda this morning: pork demand and keeping foreign animal diseases out of the country. And we will find out what's new, literally, from Merck Animal Health.
Live from the World Pork Expo via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Glenn Tanzer from Kansas State University. Then it's Dr. Jamie Lehan from Tech Service and Dr. Lisa Becton from the National Pork Board. And later, Dr. Brett O'Brien. Right after the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate that. And a big shout out to the fine people at Merck Animal Health for making this morning's coverage from the World Pork Expo possible. We really appreciate all their efforts. We're going to hear from a couple of reps from Merck as the show goes on today. They've made an announcement of a new product available. We're going to learn what that is all about. How's things going, man? You know what? Here we are in Des Moines, and yesterday the rain went to the east of us. Today it looks like the rain is going to be west of us, and so far out here at the fairgrounds, everything's pretty dry.
Looks like a couple of showers visited us here in the city of Fountains overnight. 74 degrees, overcast. It looks like we might get a little more here.
Yeah.
It'd be all right. Yeah. We could use it for sure.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that's everybody's consensus. Of course, we're not just talking pigs down here at the World Pork Expo. With some of the producers that I've talked with, the conversation about what's going on with crops and crop conditions is obviously on everybody's mind right now.
Has the weather come up in conversation? Interesting.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, a million times. Oh, good stuff, buddy. Hey, you know, before we get to the news, and we've got to get to the news because there is a lot to get to, America's Heartland knows that they can depend on AM radio for free critical weather and emergency updates, as well as the news and entertainment options. Why do you listen? Let us know. Go to whyilisten.com and tell us. And if you fill out all the information, you could win up to $500 thanks to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting for putting that effort forward. Okay, bud, what do you got in the news?
Well, Chip, the expected El Nino has emerged, according to scientists at NOAA's Climate Prediction Center. In their monthly outlook released just today, forecasters issued an El Nino advisory, noting that El Nino conditions are present and are expected to gradually strengthen into the winter. Chip, we've been talking about El Nino transition, and NOAA says it's here.
Yeah, it's the speed of the transition that is going to have an influence on the outlook going forward. But everybody that does weather outlooks has been putting together their summer outlooks with the anticipation that La Nina would be here.
Government bond yields around the world.
I said that wrong. Huh? I said that wrong. That El Nino will be here.
Yes. The Nino. Yes, not the Nina. The Nino.
The boy.
Yeah. Government bond yields around the world rose as investors anticipate interest rates will remain elevated due to high inflationary pressures. Both the Reserve Bank of Australia and the Bank of Canada surprised with a 25 basis point interest rate increase this week after a pause in the previous meetings. Also, the European Central Bank is set to rise borrowing costs next week, while the Federal Reserve here in the U.S. is expected to deliver another hike by July, which traders expect to be the last interest rate hike in 2023.
Yeah, that's the expectation right now, but let's wait until some more data comes in and shows us just how resilient this economy might be.
Well, Chip, the National Pork Producers Council hosted a policy panel this week at the 2023 World Pork Expo. NPPC CEO Brian Humphreys commented that recent policy successes and disappointments will impact producers for years to come. With the Supreme Court's decision upholding California Proposition 12, another NPPC priority is working with the California Department of Food and Ag to ensure a smooth transition for farmers and consumers who want to continue buying pork at California grocery stores and restaurants.
We have an interview with Mr. Humphreys this afternoon. We're going to do it before we get to the afternoon show, but we will have it for everyone tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
Germany blamed Russian President Vladimir Putin for the destruction of the Nova Kadovka dam in Ukraine. Kakovoda? From that dam over there up to Ukraine, the dam. It was joined by other European NATO members in denouncing it as a war crime. The statements added to rising outcry over the biggest man-made disaster in Europe in decades as Ukraine said it was mounting rescue efforts for tens of thousands of people affected by the floodwaters. Bro, I saw some drone footage of this. This is making an impact.
Yeah, no, this, it's like we talked about earlier this week. This turns it up a notch. And
yeah,
there's very little good outcome that is going to result from any of what is happening in Ukraine right now.
Well, Chip, wildfire smoke is blanketing North America, generating health alerts from Ontario to South Carolina. New York had the worst air quality of any major city in the world, with some inbound flights disrupted. Almost 4 million hectares of forests have burned in Canada, with over 400 blazes now active. Chip, over to you.
Yeah, it's like 10 million acres are burning up there. They're trying to get them under control. And the pictures from New York yesterday, it looks like they were taken on on the surface of Mars.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous. All right, Davis, thanks, buddy.
You bet.
Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. How you doing, bud?
Good morning, Chip. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You know, it's like most of the people here would like to see retailers featuring a little more pork, but to do that, they're going to have to get the beef features out of the way, and that's not happening right now.
Well, it looks like maybe we are going to see a change in that, and mainly because that beef feature rate ahead of Memorial Day for beef was higher, 71%. So that feature rate means that of the stores they sampled, 71% of them had features. Okay, so that feature rate is in the process of probably turning towards more pork, as pork is much more cheaper. I know you're at World Pork Expo. Cash cattle this week, Chip, were already priced at above 190. That's 3 to 4 higher. Dress sales are the highest they've ever been, $300 per hundredweight. So at the same time, we look at the pork cutout. It's down 23% from last year. You got a beef cutout that's 19% higher. That tends to indicate that features are going to be higher for pork going forward into this grilling season.
Yeah. The issue that everyone wants to talk about is, why can't we get retail pork prices down a little bit? But when you compare it to that price of beef in the meat case right now, it looks like such a good deal. I don't know if that's the problem or not,
right? Well, pork is priced relatively much cheaper than beef. I think beef is going to have trouble going forward maintaining the prices that we're at.
Yeah, that might be how we get beef or pork prices to look cheaper. Good stuff, Greg. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
We're
going to come back here to the World Pork Expo with Glenn Tonser, K-State.
AgriTalk is brought to you by AltoSid IGR, an easy-to-use feed-through IGR to control horn fly populations. AltoSid IGR delivers consistent results that show.
As an invested partner to the swine industry, Merck Animal Health is excited to introduce Circumvent CML, a revolutionary 3-in-1 vaccine. Circumvent CML covers 3 major causes of disease, including porcine circovirus types 2A and 2D, Mycoplasma high pneumoniae, and Lawsonia intracellularis with just one injection. Circumvent CML for a singularly better experience for your staff and animals. Merck Animal Health, driven by prevention.
Why do you listen?
It's just nice to have local.
I listen from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night.
I just want to stay informed while I'm on the go.
It keeps me up to date with everything going on in the world.
When you put the lights on in the barn, the radio went on.
It moves pretty quick so I can get the message and get on with my day.
Oh, listen in the barn, skid loader, tractor, and just about anywhere you can.
Why do you listen? Go to whyilisten.com, tell us why you listen, and you have a chance to win $500. Visit whyilisten.com today.
You can't spell farm without us. Farmers deserve an ag lender invested in their success and the future of their operations. That's ARM. Ag Resource Management has the experience you want in a lender. Operating lines, crop insurance, real estate loan, and equipment leasing services. Our proven local team works with you to keep you growing this season and for seasons to come. We finance agriculture differently. Call 855-545-1199 to find a true partner at ARM. ARM is an equal opportunity provider.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA. Join me every week on the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implementations, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
On the internet, there are tons of special networking websites, but one stands apart. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. Did you know in the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant? If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, please visit MatchingDonors.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by AltoSid IGR, an easy-to-use feed-through IGR to control hornfly populations. AltoSid IGR delivers consistent results that show.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are live at the World Pork Expo down in Des Moines. Thank you to Merck Animal Health for making our broadcast from the World Pork Expo possible. We are trying to track down Glenn Tonser. He ought to be coming around here any second. And when he does, we'll get him on here. It's that way down here at Expo, Davis.
Yeah.
You run into people and it's hard to not stop and have a conversation and spend a little bit of time talking about the issues that matter most to everybody. So, okay, we were talking about it there at the end of the conversation with Greg. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is top of mind is causing some concern in this industry right now is why can't we get retailers to back the retail prices off a bit in an effort to spur some additional usage? Mm-hmm. Consumption. The thing about that is it's a short-term fix. And I, in the current conditions, I'm not going to mind a short-term fix. Not at all. That will help us out. But longer term, what we need to do, and we've talked about this, we used to talk about this with beef prices all the time. What we need to do is move more of that retail dollar further down the chain and get it to the producers. If we can do that and make that happen, that's what really gives us an increase in demand. And that's what we need to see happen. If we can make that happen, Davis, then all of a sudden we're looking at a change situation for the long term. It gives us long-term benefit rather than short.
Well, and that would be great. Like you said, you know, let's get something fixed here, maybe initially to start, because the wheels of this sort of thing tend to move a little slow.
Right. Absolutely. So it it is a transition that needs to take place. Okay. Talking about demand with us right now is Dr. Glenn Tonser, K-State University professor of ag economics. How you doing, Glenn? It's good to talk with you.
Doing great, Chip.
All right. Hey, move that mic just a little bit closer to your mouth. There we go. Okay. You're going to be part of a discussion later, and I don't want to be a spoiler here. We're not going to give away too much info, but do a preview of proving the industry's chops, tackling a 30-year challenge.
Yeah. So the National Pork Board's kicking off a pork loin focused task force.
Okay.
And per the title of that session, you know, the value of the loin from mm-hmm. the consumer's perspective has changed over time, and there remains room for improvement opportunity there. The actual meat quality from a meat science perspective has improved, and that's been shown in various ways. You know, as the economist in this discussion, there's still room for improvement on positioning that better with consumers, understanding which consumers value the loin, which ones aren't aware of the quality improvement. You know, frankly, open up the discussion for what could we do different with the loin on different portion size or different value added opportunities and so forth. So we're on the front end of a very big effort to try to ultimately add value to the loin.
Right.
And that's going to be the main discussion we have this afternoon. And in the months ahead, a lot of work with Pork Board on it.
Glenn, to improve the quality of the loin, doesn't it just take a knife and a little bit of smoke and some heat?
Well, that would be one way, right?
Yeah.
I'm old enough, and most of your listeners probably know I've shared before. I grew up on a hog farm in Northeast Missouri. I'm 42 for those that do their real homework on this. And I can remember when most chops, right, became too tough.
Yep.
In some senses, we bred out the eating experience, some would argue. I'm getting out of my wheelhouse as an economist a little bit, but that would be the feedback that was very common.
Yeah.
I don't think that assessment is as accurate today as it was, you know, certainly 20 years ago. But I'm not sure everybody in America is aware of it.
Right.
Because if you had an adverse experience, maybe you haven't come back or come back the way the pork industry would like you to. So there's a marketing component and a raising awareness component.
Absolutely.
You quickly end up with some pork color discussions, right? Is white good or not is a debatable issue, right? So it's not just cut it different, throw it on the grill and smoke it. You know, it's raising awareness that the chop itself has changed. Yeah. There's lots of menu opportunities in TikTok world and so forth that I don't claim to understand TikTok, but that's relevant for a way to increase demand that wasn't a tool for the industry 20 years ago.
That's outstanding. You know, the discussion has to be had. And no matter how long we've already talked about, cooking pork medium is okay. 145 internal temperature is good to go. There are still home cooks that take it to 165 or even 170. And it loses some of its palatability at that point.
It does. And there's a generational component to what you're talking about. So, you know, I revealed I'm 42, so you can place me, your listeners, where that falls.
Hey, I'm 58. I made the transition to medium, okay?
But you may be the exception is where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
So all else equal, the older you are, the more likely you are to overcook pork.
Yes.
I mean, that's been shown various ways. The good news of that is each decade we go forward, we have more and more younger generations that are becoming, you know, the higher earners, and maybe we get out of those old habits.
Yes.
But that does take time.
Yep, absolutely. You do an awesome job tracking demand for all the meats, but let's talk about pork in particular. How is pork demand doing?
Yeah, so I will answer with all meats on purpose first.
Okay,
good. Is 10 days ago, I put out a report from the Meat Demand Monitor.
Yep.
Your listeners probably remember Beef and Pork Checkoff Funded. And the punchline of that was domestic demand for beef, pork, and chicken peaked in 2022. So regardless of the species, demand is lower today, sitting here, you know, early June 23, than it was in middle of 2022. And that applies to pork as well. But the reason I give the answer the way I do is it's not a pork, in my opinion, it's not a pork quality concern. We haven't had a safety concern. We haven't had an issue that's pushed people away from pork. Rather, we've had more a affordability of meat protein as household finances have been squeezed. So a special report I put out 10 days ago on our agmanager.info website, if people want to pull it up, is only 20% of the public says their household finances are better than they were a year ago. 80% say they're either worse or they're the same. So their buying power, and that's just one nugget, there's lots of examples of this, the buying power for most residents has declined, and they've tightened their household budget. And that's hit the meat protein complex. Now, please note, I said meat protein because that's not unique to pork. Pork is definitely in the middle of that.
Yep.
So pork demand has slipped. I'm not hiding that.
Yep.
But the implication for the industry is very different because it's also the case for beef and chicken products. And you don't need to change your product per se to recover from that. You sort of hope that the macro environment improves, macroeconomic environment, that is. So the affordability of your items improves as well.
Yeah. You know, this is the yellow flag that a lot of those that put together outlook for the protein industries have been warning us about for quite some time, and it's here.
It was, and you know, I don't name drop all my colleagues, but most fellow geek economists were concerned when the pandemic started and pleasantly surprised for the subsequent 18, 24 months how strong meat demand was. Well, the reason we were concerned was when household finances either decline or you just get more uncertain and you tighten your wallet, right? You're less willing to let go of dollars, it's hard for demand to go up. We were pleasantly surprised the first couple of years because government, you know, checks sent to the public, you know, people not traveling, had some extra funds and the like, enabled higher meat demand. And that was great for the industry. But that pushed us up to that peak I'm alluding to in 2022. Yeah. And then at some point, you know, the credit card bills had to be paid and we didn't have additional government checks and inflation kicked in, right?
Yes.
I'm 42. I've never lived through 8% inflation until recently.
Yeah.
I'm far from alone in this country on that, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So that's what's going on there. But I hope your listeners understand that's not a product concern. If you buy my thesis, it's an affordability issue.
I got you. I got you. Okay. Let's go general here, because the general condition of the hog industry is a big conversation here. I feel like the industry is going through some changes. Do you agree with that?
Very much so. Yeah. Again, I'm 42. I interject that for a reason, to be transparent. But 1998 is on my mind. I was a senior in high school, so I was wet behind the ears for sure then. But I remember the challenges in 98. You know, we had more hogs than we had capacity to harvest at the time, led to very cheap hogs and other issues that led to mandatory price reporting and other things that we have today we didn't have before. The profit situation for many hog operations was a challenge before the Prop 12 announcement and the added uncertainty that's getting talked about a lot here at World Pork Expo. We're definitely in the midst of a period of change. I want to interject, though, is the U.S. swine industry has always been resilient, and I'm very confident it will come out of this. Profits will improve, in part because I think pork demand will improve. It will be pull factor. We'll get some improvement on cost of production, I hope, in the months ahead. Both of those will help those margins. But sitting here talking to you early June, it doesn't matter if we're talking selling wieners, feeders, or market hogs. The profit situation is definitely a challenge. And we have tough months ahead. But I'm a big believer in the resiliency of the industry. It'll come out of this. But not everybody's going to come out like they were before, for sure.
Yeah. It'll come out of it because the product that is in the meat case is going to continue to attract that demand.
Well, the domestic and foreign consumer wants U.S. pork.
Yeah.
And that is a sustaining signal. And notice I didn't say per capita consumption. I said demand.
Right.
So
right.
Not just the volume move, and the value placed on it is fairly robust long term.
Right.
We've come off our peak. But we need some historical context on that. Is demand itself is okay. It doesn't fall through the floor.
Yeah, Glenn, we're out of time. Thank
you
so much for coming over here. We really appreciate it. And the work that you do with that meat demand monitor. Thank you so much. Glenn Tonser, K-State.
Turn to Altacid IGR for horn fly specific control year after year. Altacid IGR passes through cattle and into manure where horn flies lay eggs, preventing adult flies that interfere with cattle health and profitability. With no known resistance, make Altacid IGR the only choice for your mineral supplement. Go with the IGR that delivers ROI and keep weight gains up. Contact your feed dealer today or go to altacidigr.com.
Farming is all about community, and nobody understands how rural communities share life's joys and sorrows, risks and rewards better than the Beck family. They know that farming is important and fulfilling work, but at times it can also be dangerous. That's why Season 2 of Beck's Day Ever is dedicated to exploring the stories of rural rescuers who protect and serve their communities. Head online to beckshybrids.com/becksdayever to watch new episodes. After all, the Beck's Day Ever is the one where everyone gets home safe.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beige, wheat is showing us once again that it is a down one day, up the next. What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely, Chip. Some concerns with the dam breakage and flooding that's caused, and Ukraine's ag minister is out saying they could lose several million tons of grain production or crop production, and so that's, you know, just once again kind of a headline type of deal, and just leading the wheat market higher. Very responsive still the wheat market is to headlines out of the Black Sea region.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A little bit of spillover to the front month corns, but we got some pressure on the back months. What's going on there?
Yeah, same story in corn and soybeans, actually. Okay. Just some bull spreading going on in both of those markets. Pretty quiet, to be honest with you. The spreading action, pre-report positioning, those types of things ahead of USDA's crop reports tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right, take us over to the livestock trade. Mixed in the cattle complex.
Yeah, mixed, and that's probably a good thing. We saw some pretty hefty corrective losses yesterday, so the market's kind of catching its breath today, and you know, the cash market continues to charge higher, but yet the futures were so heavily overbought that we needed the correction. So probably in the grand scheme of things, this is healthy trade for the cattle market, but you know, I sit here at mid-morning and it's relatively quiet. Just not a lot going on.
$300 hook prices in northern market. That's impressive. We've got some pressure on hogs.
Yeah. So, you know, they're just taking more premium out, waiting on the cash market to catch up. And the cash is starting to gain, the biggest gain we've seen in quite some time today.
Gotcha. Thanks, Brian. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Welcome back to the World Pork Expo in Des Moines, and welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Big thank you to Merck Animal Health for making today's broadcast possible. We're going to get into a conversation with Dr. Lisa Becton from the NPB here in just a moment, but first, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us now, Dr. Jamie Lehman. He is the tech service veterinarian at Merck Animal Health. Jamie, welcome. All right. Let's do that again. Okay. Have we got him? Okay. Let's talk about new product.
Yes.
From Merck. Let's go straight to it because this is what it's all about. What is this new product? What is it? What problem in the industry does it address?
Well, it's an enhancement of an existing vaccine portfolio we currently have called Circumvent, which is for circovirus and mycoplasma control, as well as our Lawsonia control program, which is a vaccine called Porcillus ileitis. So the new vaccine is called Circumvent CML, and the CML stands for circovirus, mycoplasma, and Lawsonia. So what it does is it combines two existing vaccine antigens into a single vaccine that's ready to use. And it's going to be a lot more convenient, less injections, less bottle sizes needed, less storage. It's going to be a lot easier for the producers to use.
Okay, this sounds like it tackles directly a problem that I don't talk with pork producers a lot about disease issues. But when they talk about disease issues, they talk about the multiple shots and injections. This takes on that issue head on.
It will. So we have a single dose, ready to use formulation that will combine other multiple vaccines into one vaccine. So again, it'll reduce the number of injections that we have to give to pigs, less handling. It should be faster to use in the point of use. And so we're excited about it.
The other thing that I know about the circovirus in particular is if you don't do something about it, it will show up.
It's widespread. The virus itself is very hard to inactivate.
just by the nature of the virus. And so most farms, if not all farms in America, have circovirus on their farm.
Okay. Give me the name of the product again.
Circumvent CML.
CML. Yes. Excellent. Where can we learn more about it?
You can talk to your Merck sales representative or visit drivenbyprevention.com.
Drivenbyprevention.com.
Yes, sir.
Jamie, thanks. This sounds like a winner to me.
Thank you, Chip. I appreciate the time.
Taking on the issues head on there at Merck Animal Health. Good stuff. All right, let's get into this. We're going to continue the disease conversation right now with Dr. Lisa Becton. She is the Director of Swine Health for the National Pork Board. Dr. Becton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. You are going to be... You've got your panel or your presentation ahead of you yet today, right?
I actually did a presentation yesterday.
Okay. FAD defense from ag canines to on-farm solutions. FAD in this case is not a fad. It is foreign ag or foreign animal diseases. And as a priority at NPB, this is either 1A, 1B, or 1C in keeping those foreign animal diseases out. But it's top of the list.
That's correct. Because if you look at foreign animal diseases, we obviously don't have it here in the U.S., but if we do, it will be devastating. And so our whole focus is, what are things that we can do on our path to prevention to prepare for the worst? And so that incorporates things like working with our partners at CBP, because they're our first line of defense. And so having those folks in to show us in person what their dogs are doing was awesome.
Border Patrol, Customs
and Border Patrol.
Right, yeah, right. And we talked with Trish Cook from President of the Iowa Pork Producers yesterday for just a little bit about the Beagle Brigade. It's got a cute name, but the importance of dogs at the border and at customs is real and necessary.
Correct. And, you know, if you look at canines, they've been used for a lot of different things because they sense so much better than we do, and they can cover so much more ground than a human can. We know that people bring things in just a lot of times because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And so having that protection, it guards all of animal agriculture as well as other crop science too, because these dogs not only look at meat and proteins, but also fruits and vegetables. So it's a huge resource and asset for us here in the U.S.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if a disease gets in accidentally or intentionally. It doesn't matter. We got to keep it out, and these dogs are doing the job.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, prevention is huge, but at the same token, we're focusing on preparedness because we don't want to be caught flat-footed.
Right.
And so we want to be able to show producers what are all the things that you can do in, you know, prior to having a disease outbreak, because that's the last time you want to try to be prepared is right in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard some people say, oh, I've gone through customs and I've seen that 30-foot long table and it's covered with fruits and maybe some meat products and stuff like that. And they're just saying, we got to do more about it. We are doing something about it. That table full of product means the process is working.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, we really work closely with USDA, with Customs and Border Protection to ensure that they have resources and are targeted at places that we know a lot of people are coming in and bringing potential, you know, risk items. And so having that good relationship and that line of communication open, that way we're all fighting and moving towards the same direction of disease prevention and preparedness.
Yeah. Okay. The border is a great place to stop it. But hog producers have got to play a role in disease prevention and even foreign animal disease prevention through their biosecurity efforts as well, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Because, you know, obviously you look at things, ASF can be so overwhelming when we see it out in the world. So what we've got to do is break it down and say, what can a producer do on their farm to protect themselves? And that's where we're focused of looking at secure pork supply, having your premises identification, enrolling and having an AgView account. Because again, being prepared before crises will help us maintain our businesses, maintain shipments, even in the face of a worst case scenario.
Yeah. how do you get that word out most effectively? Are you working with the state organizations on that? Or what is the best way to get the word to the producer?
Sure. You know, this has been
Besides being on AgriTalk.
Yeah. Hey, that's a great way to start. No, we've been working together with all of our groups, such as our state agencies and organizations, our state animal health, so state veterinarians with USDA. But we're targeting things like Pork Expo because we have our booth and it's a great way to highlight all the tools we have. But then we're also going to all the different pork congresses and meetings, getting that word out and working with other folks in the industry that also carry that message. So we're working with all our industrial partners to get that message out of preparedness and prevention.
When you start talking about the risk to the industry on a dollar value, it's got to get their attention, doesn't it?
It does. You know, there was a recent update of the economic impact to swine, and that was $79.5 billion over 10 years if that virus got into the United States. And so the thing I think a lot of people don't realize is it also impacts our other groups like grains, propane, beef, poultry. So if one of us gets a devastating disease, unfortunately, it's got widespread impacts. But obviously, ASF would really harm the pork industry.
Okay, Dr. Beck, is the United States the only place that calls it a foreign animal disease?
You know, I think a lot of other people call it that or other diseases.
Even if they've got it?
No, that would.
Okay.
Okay, so foreign animal disease really for us means that it's never been in the U.S.
Okay.
Or it's not currently and we don't want it in there. A lot of times we consider diseases that are common called endemic because they're, you know, they're here, they're around. We have not gotten rid of them.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in the beef industry right now, everybody's looking at Portugal's. No, Paraguay's. Paraguay's.
Right.
Jesus, in Portugal. Paraguay's request to bring chilled beef into the U.S., even though they've still got FMD. That's got to be another major concern for us, isn't it?
It is. When we look at those requests, and I know at least from experience in the pork industry on some certain diseases, we work very closely with USDA because they've got certain standards that they want to meet and different inspections. They work country to country. And then we are able to talk to USDA through our partners at National Pork Producers Council to look at how do we protect the U.S. industry. And so that there's, you know, hand-to-hand communication with our federal government to look at the risks, address the risks, and then USDA executes the plan that they feel is best and most appropriate.
Outstanding. Okay. If there is one message that you want pork producers to take home from the World Pork Expo when it comes to disease prevention, what is that?
I think for producers, there is an effective path to prevention for them and preparedness. The Pork Board has many, many different tools that producers can implement right now to help them be prepared in the event of a crisis. And that also can be used not only for foreign animal diseases, but endemic diseases. And that information can be found at porkcheckoff.org.
Porkcheckoff.org is where to go for that information.
You bet.
Great. What do you make? We've only got about 20 seconds, but how are you enjoying your time here at Expo?
It's awesome. It's a great time to meet with so many different people, become engaged, hear how folks are doing, and be able to share a lot of knowledge that we have.
Yes. Outstanding. Thank you so much. That is Dr. Lisa Becton. She is the Director of Swine Health at the National Pork Board. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chip. I appreciate it.
All right. You know, we're not kidding. I mean, everybody is talking about what they need to do to prevent disease from getting into the country and beyond that, prevent it from getting into their hog house, their farrowing house. And it's a top priority here. Okay, we're going to keep that conversation going. Next, we've got Dr. Brett O'Brien from Merck Animal Health.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of Antique Iron with Machinery Pete to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
As an invested partner to the swine industry, Merck Animal Health is excited to introduce Circumvent CML, a revolutionary 3-in-1 vaccine. Circumvent CML covers three major causes of disease, including porcine circovirus types 2A and 2D, Mycoplasma high pneumoniae, and Lawsonia intracellularis with just one injection. Circumvent CML for a singularly better experience for your staff and animals. Merck Animal Health, driven by prevention.
Why do you listen?
I typically listen here at work from my desk on my way to work in the morning. When we wake up, it goes on the radio.
I can hear a song and be instantly transported back to a time in my life that I enjoy remembering.
I think that's what I like listening to radio for, is just to stay informed on whether it's news, sports, new music, anything.
Why do you listen? Go to whyilisten.com, tell us why you listen, and you have a chance to win $500. Visit whyilisten.com today.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015. Again, 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-860-1269. 800-860-1269. 800-860-1269. That's 800-860-1269. Again, 800-860-1269.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. As your innovative and invested partner, Merck Animal Health is dedicated to the well-being of the swine industry and the people behind it. Merck Animal Health, driven by prevention.
Merck Animal Health, driven by prevention. I think we're probably going to talk a little bit more about that here on AgriTalk. Welcome back to the World Pork Expo down here in Des Moines. It's day two, afternoon is getting close, lunchtime is getting close, and the varied industries building here on the fairgrounds in Des Moines are starting to get full. Glad that you are here. And again, thank you to Merck Animal Health for sponsoring this morning's program. We're going to get to Dr. Brett O'Brien and this industry spotlight. All right, joining us, Dr. Brett O'Brien. She is the technical service manager at Merck Animal Health. Dr. O'Brien, thank you so much for making time for us today. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me today.
Glad that you are here. This is such an opportunity for people in a position like you are in that make decisions that matter to how we are going to prevent diseases and enhance animal health out there.
Absolutely.
What are you learning from the producers here? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think right now the top topic is the financial constraints and the economy that we're under. You know, it's putting a lot of pressure on production systems and producers in terms of how to get the best efficiency, reduce disease pressures, et cetera, that will hinder the pig performance. And so, That's the primary buzz, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, you know, we're dealing with some tough financial times here in the hog industry. We've been talking about it on AgriTalk. You know, it's not only the World Pork Expo, but at Farm Journal and at AgriTalk, we're celebrating Pork Week, and we usually talk about everything that's positive about that magical animal that you make both ham and bacon.
Right.
Okay. I've kind of been calling it Awareness Week as well, so that we can draw attention to some of the headwinds that the pork industry is facing. How does that impact what you guys do at Merck on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, yeah. This is it's huge for us because, you know, we are customer focused and driven, and, you know, the needs that our customers have and the landscape that they're facing, we then are driven to bring innovation to address those. So labor constraints that exist, we're then driven to have, you know, create more combination products like our Circumvent CML that just launched here, looking at different technologies. You know, we're always pushing the envelope to say, how can we make things better from a disease prevention standpoint, from a treatment, from a tracking, from an ease of administration, et cetera. So
efficiency.
It is.
Efficiency. Yep. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about the farrowing house or the finishing house.
Yeah. I've always been driven. I want a happy and healthy pig, right?
Yep.
To get to market. So how can we provide our caretakers with the tools to get there?
Fantastic. Okay. Circumvent CML, you just mentioned it. We talked with Jamie about it earlier as well. What inspired the development of that product?
Yeah, so folks are always clamoring to do more with less. And we know the challenges faced in trying to give multiple vaccinations to pigs at one time. We do have, as Jamie mentioned before, our standalone products of Circumvent PCV G2, and then our Porcilla ciliitis. Well, if they're given, you know, at the same time, you're talking about two injections. This now affords the flexibility for them to have that in just one bottle with also a reduced volume. So that single dose is just a 2 cc's. The standalones were 2 cc's each as a single dose. And that's big when we're talking about, you know, putting that into the younger pigs.
Yeah.
For me, I'm, you know, very passionate about welfare, et cetera. And so reducing the amount of stress to that pig at that time just also enhances the immune response and the effectiveness you're going to get out of your vaccine. And ultimately, that equates to pig performance improvements.
Okay, so the testing, the research on Circumvent CML, what is it showing you? How does the pig respond to it?
Yeah, nope. We, you know, for us at Merck, the end product for us has to have the same top quality that we're known to deliver. So as Jamie mentioned before, we've got the same antigens in the products that are tried and true, proven. They've been put to the test out in the field when there's multiple health challenges facing those animals. And then also the same adjuvant. We going into Circumvent CML, you know, I don't know sometimes folks think that it can be really easy if you've got two existing products, you just
mix them together,
but it's not that simple. No. So our regulatory agencies to get a Product 2 license really require that we demonstrate efficacy for each component within that vaccine. So for licensure of CML, we had to do onset of immunity and duration of immunity studies. For the Serco PCV2A, we also did PCV2D, and then we did that for Mycoplasma pneumoniae and Lawsonia, as well as three safety studies at the end. So we want to make sure it's the same safety profile. It's going to be smooth on the pigs when you give it, and then also have the same level of protection. And for us, we actually took it a step further. So prior to launch, in addition to our licensing studies, we also did on the Serco front, we used our tried and true PCV2 PERS co-infection model. So for the PCV2D licensing studies, those were just challenged with the sole PCV2. But for us, the real world situation that elicits PCVAD is typically multiple health challenges coming to the pig. And so that really puts a vaccine to the test. So that's why we have leaned on and really like our robust PCV2 PERS model. And what we found with Circumvent CML is it does provide the same level of protection, 99% reductions in viremia compared to the unvaccinated pigs post-challenge, significant reductions in the lymphoid depletion, inflammation, the hallmarks of PCV2 disease, mimicking, you know, that real world challenge. So,
all right. Fantastic information. Where can we go and learn more about that?
Yeah. So if you go to drivenbyprevention.com, we've got all of the product information as well as our tech bulletins present that summarizes all of our licensing studies there. So
drivenbyprotection.com.
Drivenbyprevention.com.
Drivenbyprevention.com. Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. O'Brien.
Thank you.
Dr. Brett O'Brien, Technical Services Service Manager at Merck Animal Health. Come back this afternoon, Dave Delaney and Billy Pullivan from Partners for Production Ag.
Welcome to the 2023 Corn Sprint. Please be silent as the runners take their marks. And looks like one plant has already pulled into an early lead because it's been enhanced with BioPath, a biological fertilizer complement from the Mosaic Company. Wait, and the early favorite has crossed the finish line. Get the most out of your fertilizer investment. Don't forget to add BioPath to your early season application. Talk to your retailer about Mosaic Biologicals today or visit cornsprint.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA. Join me every week on the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implementations, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new